sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life.
Hello, this is Word of Eternal Life by Pastor Chaco Varghese of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida. Hello, greetings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Chaco Varghese from Parkland, Florida. Once again, thank you for listening this morning or afternoon, whatever time you have in your time. I like to continue the message of God's eternal plan. Now, as I said before, how do you know what's God's eternal plan? Are you telling us that you know all about God's plan? Well, in a way, yes or no, we don't know all about God, but we know what God has told us. Everything God has told us is written in a book, in a word, which is called the Holy Bible. This is the book that we get the information from. And this book talks about God, and the book is authored by human hands, but it was basically authored by the message of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God, as it says, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, that the prophecy hasn't come by itself. It came through the word, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke through to the people and people of God who heard the message and written that down. Now they spoke it, then they wrote it. Now you say, how do you know if they have received the word of God? Well, we study the word of God. It speaks to us. It inspires us. One of the reasons the Bible theologians tested the scriptures is that they have seen what is inspired. The Word inspired us. The Holy Spirit inspired us through the Word, because it's the Holy Spirit of God who spoke to the prophets and priests, those who received this message, and they written down the message of God. Today we are in a world that where people say, where is God? People say, who said God said this? People say, what God said is right or wrong? But may I say this to you, every system and surroundings, every science you can study, they all have a rules and regulations. They all have a standard. They all have a properly guided and directed establishment. And I am not entering into too much of science here. But I can tell you what I have myself studied, science and medicine. Now, I wrote this book called When You Meet God. I explained some of the science I have studied from the astronomers who studied them. And it is there that available. So it is, the science is true. When God established things very scientifically, and they all are standing as an evidence that God is there. In the Bible it says, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 2, this is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. God is powerful, mighty. He says, I created everything with my wisdom and my outstretched arm. God is with his power. Beyond anyone can imagine, God's power exists. His power exists in the lightning, in the thunder, in the storm, and in the everything happens in the universe. His power exists. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool, says in Isaiah chapter 66 verse 1. So you are at the footstool of God, which means it is not a literally physical thing God is telling you. In a sense, God is a spirit. He fills the whole universe. And in a statement such as God says, I have established my throne in heaven and you are at my footstool, which tells you so how small and how low you are beyond before God's presence. You are basically me and you are nothing, just a particle, just a dust in the presence of God. We are the one, the humanity, regardless of Jews or Gentiles, who are at his footstool. No matter how pride you have, you are at the footstool of God. Can even understand your own heartbeat. We can even understand how many hairs in our head. God says, I number your hairs. I know how many hair falls from your head. I know the number of the stars, and God calls each stars by their name. There is power in his hands, and I mentioned before. Now we are saying we don't even know how to live. We stop our breath. We are a creation of God. We need help. We need help from a higher power. And that higher power is called God. His power has no limit. He gives life. You know, there is life and death in his hands. No matter how pride we have to know that we are feeble creatures. Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. He says these words through Isaiah, the great prophet, to the nations, to people, to everyone to hear that who you know that I am a great God. I created everything. And he says, every man need to repent and surrender this great God. Bible says that our righteousness or all our righteousness are like filthy rags before God. Because he is that holy. We all shrivel up like a leaf. And like a wind, our sins sweep us away. Isaiah 64 verse 6. We are shriveling. We are like leaf flying under the power of the wind. Our sins can sweep us away. This is prophesied by a great Jewish prophet called Isaiah. When he humbled before God, the Spirit of God convinced him of the sins of him and his people, who are, at the time, Israel. In his book, the sixth chapter, he sees the Lord God sitting high and exalted on his throne, and the worship of seraphims, a group of angelic beings called the seraphims, worship with no stop. As the holy presence and sight of the Isaiah, Isaiah cried out, "Oh, I am a man of unclean lips, lives among the people of unclean lips." Here he confessed himself about Israel. How can a man, either Jew or Gentile, confess before the Almighty God? Yes, you can. When you see your condition, when you see that we are weak and feeble, we can get diseases, sickness, any kind of disease. We can die any moment of our life, that we are weak. We have no power over diseases and sickness nowadays. We thought medicine, the drugs, can heal us, but sometimes they cannot heal us. And they have diseases and viruses. Who has more power over the medicine? Or ineffective, they are ineffective. So we are continuously living weaker, feeble life. For this is what the High and Exalted says, He who lives forever, whose name is Holy. See, another name for God, Holy. A name for God is wisdom. A name for God is love. You know, we can say many, many names to God. So he says, I live in high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit. Contrite and lowly in spirit. To revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Gee, God is there to revive when we are broken, contrite. We are lowly, we are humble. We are saying, God, we are in before you. We don't have any strength. We are powerless on the diseases which is striking humanity. We are powerless over the environmental pollution. We are powerless before all the calamities. We are powerless before the fire breaks out. We are powerless before the storm, hurricanes and tornadoes. See, our nation, many nations being destroyed. We are powerless before the heat of the sun. See, I mean, I'm talking about just outside. And when we have all this horrible fire broke out recently in Hawaii, destroyed a whole island. You know, we are powerless before many things happening in the earth. So God, be kind to us. Be humble, you know, give us humbleness. Revive our heart that we will know that how short-living creatures we are. We need to humble before God. The high and lofty one who lives in eternity. He is God. The Holy One says this, I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with a repentant heart. You know, Bible says, for the nation of kingdom, a nation or kingdom that will not serve will perish. It will be utterly ruined. Another parable Jesus said on the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all the kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in the baskets and threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The net is the word of God, talking about the kingdom of heaven. The lake is the world, and the fish are the people. The word which you hear, you understand, and you confess, you are catched as all kind of people wanted to enter into kingdom of heaven. So many people will enter, trying to enter the kingdom. You enter into the net, which is the preaching of the word. Many will enter, but all will not be chosen. The only one chosen will be the ones whose name is written in the book of life. Here again, Jesus talks about final judgment. Even though many acts as they are in the kingdom, their hearts were not transformed, and they lived like they live in the world. Finally, the angels will separate the good and the bad. See, we need our heart transformed. We need to change our lifestyle. We need to be able to continue understand that we are weak, feeble creatures. We are sinful. We need power from God. We need Holy Spirit of God to help us to live a holy life. After the end of the age of grace, Jesus Christ will return to receive his saints. You see, we live in an age of grace. In the book of Gospel of John, chapter 1, it says, Moses came with a law, and Jesus came with grace. In the law, Moses gave it to Israelites. There were the Ten Commandments, and there were so many other divisions of those commandments. People were not able to fulfill all of them. It was very hard, because the law says, this is the law, you do this, you will die. You do this, you will die. You will have to do so many different ceremonies, sacrifices, offerings, in order to be redeemed from the sin you committed. So they had to keep on doing it. I don't know how long. Just like it says in the Islamic laws, you have to do good, you have to do good, you have to do good. Same in the Hinduism. Karma, karma, good karma means good work. You have to do good work. How many times you have to do good work? There is no definition, no time, no limit. You will never know when you will be enough, done enough. It's very uncertain. It's very uncertain. In the Buddhism, you pray and pray and pray. Who are you praying to? They don't know. Buddha never claimed that he is God. He said you just pray, pray, pray and meditate. Same as Islamic. Muhammad never said he is God. Krishna never claimed he is God. No Hindu God and goddesses, they created themselves. They created for them. People made them God. Just recently they made Rama Lord, Rama, who was just a human, a king's son of a territory. And now they declared him Lord Rama. Where are you getting all this? Because they never claimed as God. They have no power as God. They died like everybody else, and they never resurrected from the dead. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the Most Holy God, who came, he lived. He delivered people from sin. He delivered people from demons. He delivered people from sickness. He healed the sick, cast out demons. He walked on the water. He proved himself that he has power over the environment and the authority of the nature. And he healed the sick. And he made the wine from just the plain water, just prove that he is God, that he has the power to create. And he died on the third day, resurrected from the dead. And his sepulcher or his tomb is still empty. And his resurrection was witnessed even by the soldiers were watching him. they fell frightened as the angel of the Lord was coming from heaven. And Jesus resurrected early morning, and these soldiers reported what they have experienced to Pilate. But the Jewish people said, just tell everyone that you were sleeping and Christ's body was stolen by his disciples. How can Christ's body be stolen by disciples when they had this stone that you need so many powerful people to move that stone, and that stone was moved? How can the disciples do it? Even the Roman soldiers took many of them to place that stone there. And it was the angel of the Lord came from heaven who rolled over the stone. And the angels, as the soldiers fell frightened, they reported the incident to Pilate. Oh, Jesus resurrected on the third day. As he said, he appeared to his disciples. He appeared to his brother James. He appeared to many, at almost 500 people witnessed his ascension to heaven. So this is Christ, the Son of God, the true God who sent his Son to die for his people. And he is going to redeem this world. He redeemed his disciples. He redeemed his children, God's children, those who believe in him. They will be called the children of God. And thus, Jesus Christ, he teached people about his kingdom. At the end of the ages, this grace period, I was speaking about the grace period. Jesus came with grace, full of grace and full of truth. And he came, he delivered grace to us. Because of grace, by faith, we are saved. And none of us, our actions are anything to do with that. It's the grace of God. At the end of the age, the grace of period of pray, the period of grace will end. As the Lord God decides, the grace period will end and Christ will return to the earth, to the midair. Jesus Christ will return to receive his saints. It is as it is written in 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, verse 16. Once the rapture happens and the saints go to heaven, then there is the wedding of the Lamb and the marriage supper. So they live in the kingdom of heaven for 7 years. After the departure of the church to heaven, the world will be taken over by Antichrist. Then God will start sending tormentation into the earth. The one world government which we are crying today to have them under the leadership of Antichrist possibly implement. The tribulation of 7 years when church is in heaven with Jesus Christ. At the end of 7 year period is the nation of Israel going through the great tribulation. Under the Antichrist, the Lord Jesus will return to earth with thousands upon thousands of angels and thousands upon thousands of saints of God. They all will come down. It says in the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, his feet will be on Mount Olive. Then the mountain will split into east and west to two parts, forming a big land, a battlefield for Antichrist and all nations to come to invade Israel. There will be a great earthquake in Israel at this time. The Lord will fight against the army of Antichrist and nations under him. The army of Antichrist will be destroyed. It takes 6 months to clean up the aftermath of the war. The dead bodies and weapons, tanks and arsenals. This is called Armageddon. Revelation 19, verse 11 to 21 speaks about it. So the Lord will go and fight against the nations, comes against to invade Israel at the last time. Praise the Lord. The book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 11 to 21. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horse and dressed in linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword which strike down the nations. So this will be the end of the world Armageddon. Today we like to continue this for continue next time. We thank you for listening. If you have any questions, please email to me, pr.p@gmail.com. And if you have any support or donations, send it to WCNO 89.9 under Word of Eternal Life, 2960 Southwest MAPP Road, Palm City, Florida 34990. That's 2960 Southwest MAP Road, MAPP, Palm City, Florida 34990. Thank you for listening. May the Lord richly bless you.
Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of love.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast this morning. And if you have any more questions, or if you'd like to contact me and talk more about this subject, please call me at 954-993-0491. And my email address is p like Peter, r like Robert, dot chackov like Victor at gmail.com. That is pr.chackov@gmail.com.
Grace and peace to you from God.